You're listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey. Built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show.
Now I'm jacked up. I want to see Rocky.
All I want to do is run to the top of some stairs and stand up with my arms in the air.
Oh, yes. I love this boat music. It's awesome.
Rising up.
Adrian.
All right. Hey, we got Dave Schuster on the phone with our market update.
Yes.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys. Host and host. Co-host.
Yeah. Co-hosts.
Fair with one of you guys is the host. We're supposed to co-host. We got the opening there.
Yeah, no, we're not hosts. We're coasts.
We're coasts, oh, yeah.
We're both like coasts.
The coast with the most.
That's right.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
How's
Dave?
It going?
All right, great. Well, good real estate news.
Good. What's going on out there?
Well, we've got U.S. home prices are up the most year over year for the last 7 years. There's a sampling done of 150 of the largest real estate markets in the country. 133 of the 150 markets that were sampled were all up over prior year. And as a country, we're up 11.3% from last year.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. In your opinion, do you think that that's too much?
His humble opinion?
In your humble opinion, do you think that that's too much? Do you think we're on the verge of another bubble?
Well, you know, if this 11.3% bump from 2012 to 2013 weren't immediately following the prior 4 years of, you know, what kind of action out there, I would say that might be a little bit too much growth. But I think, you know, the market has been poised for this kind of recovery after losing 20 to 30%, you know, over the last 4 years or so. I think it's a correction.
Yeah, that's
in the right direction.
See, we were over in Bend last week, as you know, and we talked to a local guy there, and he saw some indicators in the market that he thought were not good. And he kind of felt like this was a micro bubble and that we could burst. And I don't know if he was speaking locally or nationally.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what I think. I'm assuming he'll probably mean probably locally from what he's seeing. And, you know, it's all case by case. But I think the reason that there's a bubble right now or a spike in pricing and that sort of thing is because of the low inventory. You know, there's so little for sale out there at the moment that it's driving prices up a bit, you know, multiple offer situations and that kind of stuff. So the way I see it, the only way to burst, if this were a bubble, the only way it would burst is if all of a sudden three times as much inventory for sale happened overnight than what is currently for sale. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's not going to happen.
I see this whole thing right now as being driven by low levels of inventory. You know, we've purged through a lot of the inventory over the last few years that needed to be sold voluntarily and involuntarily, and now we're in a different phase. Unless we run out of inventory, I don't see anything changing in the near future. Unless we triple our inventory, I don't see anything changing in the near future.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I see, or what Tony and I both see, because we're in the construction business, is a lot, I mean a lot, of new construction. I think guys that have been sitting on land are scrambling to get houses put on it, and they're selling.
Yeah.
They are selling. So, you know, hopefully.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing, I think I mentioned this a little bit to you guys previously, too, is that, you know, even in the $500,000 to $600,000 range of new construction where people were, you know, frightened to start a new project, you're seeing those kind of houses going up, too.
Certainly. Yeah.
But we, as fast as we're building and as rapidly as we're moving and the building supply, you know, is going crazy right now, trying to get material out to everybody. As fast as we're doing that, the houses are not going to go up so fast that we will suddenly be with all this inventory. I mean, it's because literally they're selling as quickly as they're going up. So it's good that we're building and it's good that we're increasing the inventory. But as quickly as they're selling, it's not going to just be boom, now all of a sudden we've got a 6-month inventory or an 8-month inventory. I mean, that's not going to happen, right?
Right, no, because affordability is as affordable as it can possibly be at the moment with interest rates in the threes and that sort of thing. I mean, gosh, I remember when I bought my first home, I thought I was getting a smoking deal at 7.25% interest, you know, so 90% of my house payment was interest. I can imagine what that would have been at 3.25,
yeah,
you know, in today's dollars.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. We definitely appreciate the
insight.
The awesome insight that you give us.
Yeah, it's great. That's exactly what we hope to hear. We sure appreciate that, Dave. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, gentlemen.
All right. Well, have fun on your...
Wait, real quick before
what's up?
Real quick before you go, John L. Scott, give us your contact information.
Oh, yeah.
If people are looking for a home because, you know, because it's a really good time to buy with interest rates low, an opportunity to sell your house and upgrade or downgrade, depending on what you're trying to do. How do we get a hold of you, Dave?
Right, or maybe you just want to know how much your house is worth. Happy to take a look for you, give you a market analysis. Yeah, so my phone number is 503-504-DAVE.
504-DAVE.
504-DAVE, 503-504-3283.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you next one.
You bet. Take care.
All right, see you, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's great news.
Yeah, that is. It's really good to get that personal current market condition right now with what's going on, because that's what real estate guys do constantly. They're constantly checking the numbers, knowing what's going on, because everything changes so rapidly, you know.
Yeah, what Dave said, you know, you might be living in your house, you know, and here's what I saw back in 2009, home prices hit rock bottom, 2009, 2010.
Right.
Well, people still thought that their houses were worth 2004 values, which were inflated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said, well, I bought my house in 2002, and in 2004, it was worth $800,000.
Right.
It should still be worth $800,000.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, everything tanked. And I think people still think that it's still tanked.
Right, because that we had to come to that realization. Over the course of 4 years or so, we had to come to the realization that home prices were dropping. And like Corey said last week, I think that there's a filter time, you know, when it actually happens, it takes a long time for people to come to terms with what has happened. And then by the time they come to terms with what has happened, it's starting to go back the other direction. And then it takes time for them to come to terms with what's happened again. So really, real-time updates like we've got right now are very important. People need to know that home prices in the Pacific Northwest, for sure, are on the rise, on the increase, and we are getting back to levels around 2005, you know, value what totally. The houses were valued back then.
Yeah, so if you're in your house and you're thinking about selling, call Dave.
Yeah.
503-504-DAVE. I mean, he'll at least tell you what he thinks it's worth, and you might be surprised.
Yeah, that's good. He's a good contact.
All right, so let's get back into some home maintenance stuff.
Yeah, and a la carte show.
A la carte. So a while ago, we were talking about spring cleaning.
Sure.
And I came across this really cool article about a gal that talked about how to make your house look professionally cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking. One of the tips that I remember back, I heard this a long time ago when cleaning out cars,
mm-hmm.
and it works well for your house windows as well. Streak-free glass, right? How do you get, you know, you can buy ammonia-free this and streak-free that, but you always get streaks. Always.
When you're cleaning the windows. So you bust out the Windex, squirt, 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 grab your paper towel and wipe, 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 and
right.
You've got streaks.
Well, you got streaks, and then you got little lint, and you got all this little stuff. They don't look super clean. So one of the tips that I got from an auto detailer was to use newspaper. It seems weird, right? It seems like some homeless guy's jumping on your car and wiping it with newspaper, but he's got it right, because newspaper is lint-free.
Yeah.
And it leaves no streaks.
That's weird. But so, newspapers, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not, how do you hold it in your hand? You know what I'm saying? It's
you literally
it's
just, you crumple it up. I do this. You crumple it up and you wipe it. And it leaves the most crystal clear windows you've ever seen.
But how does it, I mean, it doesn't dry. It doesn't
no,
soak.
No, it dries.
It doesn't soak up the stuff,
it does.
Right? Does it?
Yeah, it does.
It seems to me like when I'm washing the windows, and I go one swipe or two swipes, you know, and you've got that wetness still on the,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to wipe it dry.
Keep trying it. I'm telling you, just try it.
Okay.
It works fantastic.
Newspaper for streak-free
yep.
windows.
Streak-free windows, streak-free mirrors. It works really, really well, especially in the bathroom. And I know people have done this. They've wiped out, they spray their bathroom mirror, they wipe it down, and then there's that lint.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of that?
That's static.
You use newspaper.
That's static, right?
Static
that's,
lint, yep.
Yeah.
All right. Another tip. What do you think about mopping your floors?
Well, I don't mop my floors. I Swiffer my floors.
Swiffer?
Yeah.
You're a Swifferator.
I'm a Swiffer guy.
Well, if you want a professionally looking clean floor, mop them. When you mop them, dry them.
Yeah?
Yep.
On your hands and knees?
Or with a microfiber towel and a maybe on a Swiffer works.
Uh-huh.
I've done that before. Our last house was all hardwoods.
Yeah.
Get out the Murphy's oil soap, you mop to clean, but then you got to dry them. Because when you dry them, it takes all the streaks away. Because what happens when you have streaks is they collect dust and they look dirty. So it's kind of...
That's weird because...
You're mopping.
All I can ever remember when my mom was cleaning the floors, you know, wipe, 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 wet, 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 and then stay out of this room, the floors are wet.
Yep.
And then, you know, a couple hours later,
totally
you're able
wrong.
To go, interesting. Very interesting.
So, yeah, I got one more, but we'll get to that one after this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.
Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. You're listening to Tony and Corey this morning, and we're talking about things that you need to do around your house this time of year. And a couple weeks ago, we had a show on spring cleaning, and one of the things that I came up with in just doing some research, additional research, was that you need to do certain things to make your house look professionally cleaned. And one of the things was cleaning your mirrors and your glass with newspaper. It sounds weird, but it works. I learned this tip from an auto detailer a long time ago. And the second one was to dry your floors after you mop them. It gets rid of the streaks, and it actually will increase the length of time that you need between mopping because your floor will stay cleaner. And the last one, right before we had to go to break, I didn't get to it, but this tip is, it seems like it doesn't work, but I'm telling you it works. Start, when you're cleaning a room, start at the top. So all your fixtures, clean your fixtures first. The tops of your, clean the ceiling, clean your fixtures, all the lighting, all the cobwebs and all that stuff. And then start from that and work your way down. And what happens is you clean all those surfaces that you can't even see, it makes your house look cleaner.
I mean, it makes a difference even with the light. As the light shines off of things, right? If they've got, a layer of dust on something that normally would reflect light,
right,
it's going to make it seem dingier and darker, and it's not going to have that crisp, clean look. I mean, you might not be able to see the dust from where you stand, but if it's there, it changes the crisp, you know, clean look of something like that. So
yeah, even the tops of all your moldings and trim in your house, you don't see it, but right, you do.
Right, you do. I mean, if you're, just imagine this, you've got some trim up at the top of the ceiling, right, and it's white. Okay, light shines off of white. It reflects off and it lights your house. If that molding up there has got a coat of dust on it or a couple coats of dust that you can't really see with your eyes, it makes a difference in how lighted your room is, and it makes a difference in how bright that molding is. So it's very important to clean from the top down, just like when you're in the shower, Corey. You gotta wash your hair first. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I have to wash mine, but you don't have much on top, so.
So if you wash your feet first, they're going to be dirty when you get out. Did you just make a joke about my hair? Wow. Okay, well, you know, I can take that. I get it. I'm getting older. I'm thin on top. It's okay.
Sorry. That was bad.
Clean from the top down. That's a good tip.
Yep, so clean those surfaces you don't see, and you will see a difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got, what do you got there, Tony? What are some a la carte items?
You know, there's a lot of things that we could be talking about.
I got one.
Go ahead.
So, yesterday, or this last weekend, we were in Bend, but when we got home, we drove up to our house, and we noticed this gigantic weed grow. We have three camellias in our front yard.
Chameleons?
Camellia.
Chameleons?
Camellia.
Oh.
It's a plant, a flowering flowering plant, evergreen plant.
I don't think there's any chameleons in the Pacific Northwest.
Probably not. But anyway, there's three camellias there, and out of the middle is this one shoot. I swear it goes up 20 feet. I think it's an elm tree, but it does not belong there. So I think one of the things, the funny thing is we've lived in this house for, a month now, and we've never noticed it until now. Because I think it was one of those things that didn't belong, but you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
You know, it was a plant. You
yeah.
didn't really notice it. But when you look at it long, we knew it didn't look right. It didn't look good. But we couldn't quite figure it out until one day we realized, man, there's this giant weed almost growing up through the middle of this plant. So I had to trim that out of there, to cut it out. And I tell you, it looks a heck of a lot better.
Oh, good. I mean, you could tell that it wasn't a weed. It's a tree.
It's a tree.
You could tell it wasn't a weed, but at the same time, it didn't look like it belonged there. So have you done something with it now?
Yeah, we cut it at the base. We cut it at the base and pulled it right out. I mean, it's a tree, but it should not be growing through the middle of this camellia.
I'm disappointed in you.
Why?
Because I feel like that you should have, dug it up with a nice big root ball and replanted it, sort of repurposed it in an empty corner of your yard.
It would have killed the camellia.
Oh, because it was all intertwined down in there,
yeah,
maybe,
it was
huh?
growing up literally 3 inches from the base of the camellia.
Hmm.
It was weird. I don't know how it got that high.
I don't know either.
But it's a good 20 foot.
That's a monster.
Yeah. But there's things like that. You know, the backyard was severely neglected at this particular house. It's a rental, so I don't think the people that have lived there over the years have taken it upon themselves to manicure like they should.
Right.
And one of the things is there's a good-sized tree, and that tree comes out over the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every year, it looks like, they have trimmed the tree back to the edge of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened is the branches have grown back and have created a mess. And they've intertwined and they're crossing and they're growing every which way, which now it looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads me into one of the things about pruning trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a proper way and an improper way to prune trees. And
in your vast knowledge, tell me, please, what is the improper way to prune a tree?
Well, you know, there's certain things called thinning. You want to thin a tree. And that really goes to, like I said, if you had a tree coming over a fence.
Okay.
You know, say it's in your neighbor's yard, and it comes over into your yard, and you said, you know what, I hate that tree, I'm cutting it back. And you just cut it back to the fence line.
Right.
Well, that tree's going to grow back. It's going to try to repair itself. So what will happen is it will shoot sprouts out at the end of where you trimmed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when those get big, and then you trim them again and again and again, you're creating this
monstrosity,
this virtual wall of branches that are crisscrossing and growing through and around each other. That's not healthy for the tree, and it's not attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is it creates dead spots. So in this situation that I have in my backyard, there's a lot of dead branches in there. And my daughter's playing out there, and they're literally hanging,
mm-hmm.
just hanging there. So
it's a safety issue.
It is a safety issue, but it's very unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look out there, and it just looks like a discombobulated mess. Kind of like your face.
Right. So the idea is, in order to do it properly...
Yep. You thin the tree. So you have to go back, and what you want to do is go back to what's called the crown, where two branches come together.
Mm-hmm.
One sprouts one way, one sprouts the other.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find out which one is the bad one. And by doing that is basically you're looking at the one that is growing wild, growing up through another branch or through another
portion of the tree,
and cut it there. Cut it at where it splits. And if that's at the tree trunk, It's at the tree trunk. You got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll get a little more in detail when we get back from the break. But these things are going fast.
Those are good tips. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.